Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Donald Perkins continues our study of the Book of Revelation. Watchmen on the Wall is here each day to bring clarity to the chaos and remind everyone who tunes in that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that's shared on Watchmen on the Wall. Subscribe to our free email newsletter, the latest insight and analysis from our speakers, and access to the latest resources. Sign up today for the free email newsletter at swrc.com or call 1-800-652-1144. This daily program is only one of the ways that we share the good news. We have our monthly publications, The Prophetic Observer and The Prophecy in the News magazine. We also have our weekly television program, Prophecy in the News. Find all this and more when you visit our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And please remember that Watchmen on the Wall and Southwest Radio Ministries is listener-funded. That means we need to hear from you. Your prayers and financial gifts are so important right now. Please call with your gift today, 1-800-652-1144, or you can give online, swrc.com. Thank you, friends, for your support. Now it's time to open our Bibles to the Book of Revelation. Donald Perkins is here, ready for our next lesson.
We're in part 28 of our series, Understanding the Book of Revelation. We're moving into chapter 12, but I want to just make a little note. We closed up last week looking at Revelation chapter 12, and we were talking about the two witnesses. I shared how I believe that the two witnesses will be Elijah and Enoch, the two prophets that God will use during the time of the Great Tribulation. So what I want to do right before we get into chapter 12, looking at the sun-clothed woman, I want to quote Phineas Dake from his book, and also Dr. David Reagan in their references to the two witnesses. From the book Revelation Expounded, Phineas Dakes said this: "Since it seems unreasonable that Moses will be the only witness, we advance Enoch as the obvious choice of God, although not with a definite thus saith the Lord, as the case of Elijah, found in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It is clear, however, that Enoch and Elijah are the only two who have not tasted death, i.e., have not died their appointed death on earth. This they must do as all others have done. Both of these men were prophets of judgment. We know that Elijah was translated to heaven and is now one of the two olive trees and the two candlesticks which stand before God." He goes on to say, "Is it not reasonable that Enoch, being the only other man translated, that he should not see death during his lifetime on earth, and that for some definite purpose is the other witness? It is no doubt clear to the reader, after due consideration of the above facts concerning the two witnesses, that there are only two men in the whole Bible that fit the plain revelation. They are Enoch and Elijah. That Elijah will be one of them seems too clear from Scripture. Elijah must come back in person to fulfill Malachi 3:4. This first verse of Malachi 3 gives us a reference both of Elijah and John the Baptist. But beyond this verse, John is not mentioned. And I really like, you know, what he said. You know, he believed that the two witnesses of the Book of Revelation will be Elijah and Enoch. Both men were taken up. Enoch, we know, was translated. Elijah was caught up, you know, on a chariot of fire. Neither one of those men saw death. Now, I'm going to quote one more scholar here, Dr. David Reagan of Lamb and Lion Ministry. Listen to what he says in reference to the two witnesses. He says, "I believe the two most likely candidates are Enoch and Elijah. Both were men of righteousness who were raptured to heaven. Neither experienced death. Both were prophets. One was a Gentile, Enoch, and the other was a Jew, Elijah. I think it is interesting that this was the unanimous opinion of the church fathers during the first 300 years of the church. All of them identified the two witnesses in their writings as Enoch and Elijah. Even quotes in the version of Malachi 4:5 as stating that both Enoch and Elijah will appear before the day of the Lord. Our modern versions mention only Elijah. So again, the two prophets, I think without any question, the two prophets in Revelation chapter 12 will be that of Elijah and Enoch, these two men. Now, in a summary to close out the ministry of these two witnesses, God's going to use them. They'll have power to shut up the heavens that it rain not. They'll have power over the waters that the waters turn to blood. They will smite the earth with all types of plagues as often as they will. When their ministry is finished, they would be killed and their bodies would lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. But then God will resurrect them and they will be raptured to heaven. Again, I shared earlier that these two prophets, God's going to charge them with judging the Antichrist kingdom and those people that will actually be with the Antichrist during that time. Now, I want to move now into the next chapter. And we're going to look now at Revelation chapter 12. I love this chapter. It's a fun chapter. We're going to look at the sun-clothed woman. And you look at the illustration there. It's an amazing picture there, the sun-clothed woman and the dragon. We're going to learn some amazing things, and we're going to talk about that. But in Revelation chapter 12, we're going to start here at verses 1 through 3. I'm going to give you the text first, and then we'll come back, all right? So we're going to look now at chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. John wrote this, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." Verse 4. "And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to heaven unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, here we have the account, the whole account of the sun-clothed woman. Now, we're going to see in chapter 12, this will be an action-packed chapter. Just in the verses I read, there's so much stuff there that we're going to look at, but it's going to go further. So what I want to do here, I want to give us a little outline of what we're going to cover in these next few programs here. We're looking at the sun-clothed woman. So first of all, we're going to look at the identification of the woman. Who is this sun-clothed woman represented in Revelation chapter 12? Then we're going to see the travail of the sun-clothed woman. She's pregnant. She's in travail. She's ready to deliver a child. We're going to look at that travail. What does that represent? What does it mean? Then we're going to look at the identification of the man-child, her offspring. We're going to look at who could this be? Who is this man-child that the Bible talks about here in chapter 12? Then we're going to move on and we're going to look at the dragon. We're going to see the war in heaven, the dragon and the war in heaven. What does the Bible tell us about that? And again, this is in chapter 12. This is at the mid part of the Great Tribulation. This is significant because this is going to be a powerful event that God is going to use to judge the devil. We're going to see that. Then we're going to look at Israel protected in the wilderness. We're going to see Israel protected in the wilderness. And then lastly, we're going to look at the remnant of Israel at this time. Now, again, this sun-clothed woman, this Revelation chapter 12, is an action-packed chapter. And again, we're going to cover a lot of things. Now, I want to say this. I believe this will happen at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. To help us interpret the sun-clothed woman, we must understand that it is a matter of dispensation. Now, what I want to say here is this. This is very, very key in understanding the interpretation of the sun-clothed woman here. Dispensation, timing. So what is a dispensation? A dispensation is a system of order or government or organization of a nation, community, etc., especially as existing at a particular time. So when I say a dispensation, we're going to see here that this event, the sun-clothed woman, this appears and happens in a dispensation in a particular time in prophecy. I believe, again, that this will happen during the mid part of the Great Tribulation, and that is key to understanding the timing, because if you don't understand the timing, it's going to mess up how you understand who this sun-clothed woman is and what this thing represents. Now, I want to bring in our prophecy chart. And again, you're going to see the prophecy chart here. Right here in the middle, you see the Great Tribulation there between the church age and the millennial kingdom. You see the church age, but look at the arrows. The arrows come right down to the midpoint of the tribulation. And this is where I believe where the where this sun-clothed woman will actually be revealed and what it's going to talk about here during this time. We're going to see some amazing stuff at this time. And again, we're going to see it. So let's go now and we're going to begin to look at the identification of this woman, this sun-clothed woman. So what I want to do, I want to start off, first of all, by giving some views that have been taught. One view here, the one I'm about to give you now, is actually a false view of the sun-clothed woman. And this is actually taken from the Catholic Educational Resource Center. They are quoting an article by Father William Saunders. And listen to what he says in regards to the sun-clothed woman. He said, finally, the woman can be identified with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary gave birth to our Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Bernard commented, the sun contains permanent colors and splendor, whereas the moon's brightness is unpredictable and changeable, for it never stays the same. It is quite right, then, for Mary to be depicted as clothed with the sun, for she entered the profundity of divine wisdom much, much further than one can possibly conceive. And this is from D.B. Vine 2. Okay, this right here, this is just amazing here, because this really, I believe, is a false view. This is this sun-clothed woman we're going to see in the study is not Mother Mary. This cannot be Mother Mary. And again, for a number of reasons. And again, remember I said dispensation timing? Mother Mary is not doing, she won't be here during the time of the tribulation. So it cannot be the tribulation. She won't be in the wilderness and being helped of God during the time of the tribulation. So this cannot be Mother Mary. And again, we're going to look at some other things. Now, I'm going to quote here Dr. Mark Hitchcock from his book, 101 Questions. Listen to what he says. Who is the woman clothed in this in chapter 12? He says this. There are three main views of the identity of this woman. First, Roman Catholic scholars believe this refers to Mary, the mother of Jesus, because the woman here gives birth to Jesus. If that were the only part of this prophecy, the Mary view could be correct. The problem, however, is what the prophecy states in verse 6. We are told that the woman will flee into the wilderness for 1260 days. That never happened to Mary, and it will never happen. Again, he also disqualifies this view of Mary being the sun-clothed woman. He goes on to say, second, the majority view among Protestant scholars is that this woman represents the Church of Jesus Christ. They make this connection because the New Testament, in the New Testament, the church often is pictured as a woman, the bride of Christ. But the woman here cannot be the church because the woman gives birth to Jesus. The church did not give birth to Jesus. Rather, Jesus gave birth to the church. The church was born upon the death and resurrection of Christ and the sending of the Spirit. He goes on to say, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars in the dream represents Joseph's father, mother, and 11 brothers. Eventually, this dream is fulfilled. These symbols clearly identify the woman as Israel, which descended from Joseph's father, Jacob. Moreover, Israel gave birth to the Messiah, which is in keeping with the imagery of Revelation chapter 12, or Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Therefore, the woman in Revelation 12 pictures the nation of Israel rising to prominence in the end times. What we see taking place in Israel today strikingly foreshadows this prophecy. And again, you know, this is just amazing here. But again, there are a lot of views out there. Now, I want to give you another view that also is a false belief as to who she is. This is actually quoting from Dr. Jack Van Impe in his book, Revelation Reveal. And he made the statement, the quote regarding Mary Baker Eddy Glover Patterson of the Christian Science. Listen at this. Mary Baker Eddy Glover Patterson presented herself as this woman, but her claim was absurd to say the least. The woman's offspring could not possibly be the Christian Science movement. Who then is this woman, and why does she appear? The term wonder in our text comes from the same Greek word sign. Thus, we see that the woman is a sign. What sign? The sign of Israel. And again, we're going to show you and prove it to you as we go throughout the scripture. Now, I do believe that this woman represents the nation of Israel. And again, we're going to let the scriptures help us to understand that. Now, I want to quote another one here. This is Finnis Dake from his book, Revelation Expounded, in regards to the identity of the woman. He said, this woman symbolizes, we firmly believe, national Israel. By this term, we mean all the Israelis who will be back in Israel during the 70th week and form the nation at that time. And again, he's talking about when Israel are back in the land. You know, right now, God is gathering the Jews from all over the world, which again is causing prophecy to be fulfilled. But I believe that God is populating the land of Israel for this latter day prophecy of the sun clothed woman. This represents the nation of Israel in the tribulation. And again, we're going to see that. And I like this picture. This is a picture of Joseph. You know, in order to understand who this imagery is, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. And again, we're going to see some amazing things. So what I want to do here, I want to take you back to the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 9 through 11. And in the dream that Joseph had, it's going to give us a clue and some insight as to who this sun-clothed woman really is. Again, I share with you, this sun-clothed woman represents the nation of Israel. So let's go to Genesis 37. We're going to start here at verse number 9. We're going to read the text, and then we're going to give you some understanding as we go here. In verse 9, the scripture read, and he dreamed, talking about Joseph, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, thy mother, and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, this is really, really powerful here. Here we have the vision, the dream that Joseph had. And Joseph's dream will give us some insight into the sun-clothed woman. In the dream, Joseph saw the sun, the moon, but here he saw 11 stars. And I'm going to show you the connection there. Now, we know in chapter 12 there were 12 stars, and I'm going to talk to you about that. But here in this dream, Joseph saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to him. Now, his father rebuked him. I thought it was kind of funny that his father rebuked him about a dream, because how many of us can command a dream to come and go in our life? I mean, you have dreams. Dreams are totally out of your control. This was a dream that God allowed to come into his heart. This was a dream that God allowed him to see. And again, this is an amazing thing that Joseph saw here. In this interpretation here, or in this particular passage here, the Bible tells us what his father thought of his dream. Listen at this. He said, "Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brothers envied. Now, what I want to do here, as I've shown you in the verse here that this represents Israel, let me just give you a quick interpretation here of what his father saw. Again, the sun represents Jacob, his father, the father of Israel. Then we have the moon represent his mother. And then we have the 11 stars, which is Joseph's brothers. Now, again, this interpretation here is clear, because this gives reference to the nation of Israel. Now the latter part, I think, said in that particular dream, it said that Jacob, the father, the mother, and the 11 brothers would literally bow to him. Now, why is it 11 stars in Genesis here and not 12 stars? Because in order to have 12 stars, that 12 star would have to be Joseph. And Joseph was the one that actually saw the dream. Now, going back to the book of Revelation, here we see the imagery of Israel represented by the 12 stars. We're represented by the sun. She's clothed in the sun and then the moon at the heel. This is the nation of Israel being represented here as the sun-clothed woman. So this cannot be nobody else or no other person. It cannot be Mother Mary. And again, many have tried to make this Mother Mary. It cannot be Mother Mary. Again, think about it. Dispensation. Time. This is happening during the time of the Great Tribulation. This is happening at the time when Israel is in travail. Now, we know that the Great Tribulation is called the time of Israel's travail. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's travail. And again, this is what the scripture teaches. So at this time, the nation of Israel, in the middle part of the Great Tribulation, the nation of Israel will literally go into a time of great travail. So I want to pick up here at Revelation chapter 12, and I'm going to read here at verse number 2. Look at what it says. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." So here we have Israel. She's ready to deliver her child. Now think about it, saints. This, again, timing. This sun-clothed woman is in the Great Tribulation. This is the nation of Israel in travail, and she's about to bring forth her child. She's in travail. She's about to bring forth. This is Israel in travail. The scripture talk about Israel during that time. And again, we must understand, you know, what the teaching literally teaches. Now, quoting Finnis Dake from his book Revelation, listen what he says in regards to the travail of the sun-clothed woman. He said, "The word travailing is from the Greek word ano, which is used here and in Galatians chapter 4, 19 and 27, Matthew 24, verse 8, and Mark 13, 8, and means the experience and means to experience the pains. Whether literally or figuratively, here it is used in a figuratively sense, in a figurative sense, for the woman is a symbol and therefore cannot travail literally. The Greek word for pain means torment, and is so translated in Revelation 9:5 and Revelation 11:10 and Revelation 14:10 and Revelation 20 verse 10. This helps us to understand that the travail and the pain of Israel in the whole 70th week is caused by the same sort of punishment she has always undergone under Gentile rule. Now, again, Israel is in travail. The nation of Israel is in a time of trouble at this time. And again, we got to understand that this is an amazing situation, a prophecy regarding Israel. He goes on to say the travails of Israel have been numerous in her past history and is clearly revealed in her bondage and her deliverance, which began with Israel in Egypt and in the period of the judges and the kings. They have continued more or less and will finally culminate in the worst period of travail she has ever known. Daniel 12, verse 1, he's literally talking about it's going to culminate when Israel literally goes into the time of trouble, this time of the great tribulation. So the verses here, they show that the travail of Israel in the past, there was Israel in the past. We talked about Exodus chapter 18, verse 8, and Jeremiah 4, verse 31, and Jeremiah 6, 22, and Jeremiah 13, 24. These verses show Israel in travail in her past. There is to be, though, a future continual travail of Israel in the tribulation week with a twofold result. Now, again, Israel at this time in the book of Revelation will be in a time of travail. Verse 6 through 9, also Daniel 12, verse 1, this will be the result of the terrible anguish and sorrow of Israel in the middle of the week, because the Antichrist because the Antichrist, with whom she has made a 7-year covenant as a guarantee of her protection from the great whore and the ten kings of the revised Rome, will have broken this covenant and determined to completely destroy her. Now, what's going to happen? The Antichrist, again, at this time, he's going to turn against Israel. And what's going to happen? Israel is going to go under suffering like she has never experienced. You think the Holocaust was something? The Holocaust would be nothing compared to what's coming. But you know, I'm looking at the clock, and guess what? We're going to have to pick this up next week as we're looking at the identity of the sun-clothed woman. We're looking at the travail. Next week, we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to actually see who the man-child is in this. So I want to close by making this appeal. If you don't know Christ, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I want to encourage you to call upon Jesus, and he'll give you life.
Donald Perkins' series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, is now available. This 24-DVD set contains all 71 lessons, going verse by verse, studying the Book of Revelation. Order Understanding the Book of Revelation by Donald Perkins today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. This study is an excellent resource for churches, Sunday school classes, small group studies, and homeschool Bible classes. 71 lessons on 24 DVDs, studying through the entire book of Revelation. Understanding the Book of Revelation by Donald Perkins. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Josh Davis will have the latest headlines from the end times, so be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.